Welcome to the Flip the Library podcast, the Gwinnett County Public Library podcast. I'm Caleb Nichols, supervisory librarian at the Duluth branch of GCPL.
I'm Steve Thomas, the branch manager at our Buford Sugar Hill branch.
We are recording today at the Norcross branch, and we're talking with branch manager Meg Wilson about Tower Gardens. Meg is the Tower Gardens team leader. Hi, Meg.
Hey.
So to start us off, can you give us a little bit of background about Tower Gardens? What actually is a Tower Gardens for our listeners that aren't aware?
Sure. So the Tower Gardens are aeroponic gardens that grow vertically using water and minerals to feed the plants. We are using them indoors, so ours have growing cages to support the plants and to hold up the grow lights, which give the plants the spectrum of light that they need to grow indoors. They work really well for us. We produce lots and lots of different kinds of plants, most of them leafy things, lettuces, spinach, kale, stuff like that, but also some herbs. We're doing cilantro and basil. Some branches have had luck with chives, oregano. We have catnip we're trying.
Have we harvested any catnip yet?
We have not. We just started ours, and it's growing very slowly. So I don't know, but I'm hopeful. I have a lot of program ideas for catnip.
Librarians and catnip,
yeah. Those are two things that have never been discussed.
I think you can make tea.
Oh.
It's a relative
for cats
mint.
Or for people?
For people.
Interesting.
So if you can get to it before the cats do,
but then
it
your
shouldn't be that hard.
Might attract cats, and that could be another problem.
I hope so.
Or a bonus.
Yeah,
or depending on your point of view.
What type of librarian you are.
Depending on your allergy situation.
Yeah. So catnip tea, great. That's exciting. So that's a bit about Tower Gardens. So can you give us a background on how GCPL got involved with the Tower Gardens and how this project all started?
Yes. About a year and a half ago, a couple of different things happened all around the same time that got Tower Gardens on our radar. I heard a story on NPR about the Bronx Green Machine, which you can Google if you're interested, and watch some very entertaining videos about a teacher in the Bronx.
I just watched that today.
You did your homework.
I did.
Who uses the Tower Gardens with his students and also as a community project. And so that's just a really cool story that we heard about. And then right around the same time, a friend of mine mentioned to me, have you heard of these cool things called Tower Gardens? And she showed them to me on her phone. And so I got all excited about them and said, we need this thing. Because that's pretty much the first reaction of anybody you show it to. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, I need that.
Right.
And so that's where I was. And then Casey Wallace was at that time the grants writing person. Mm-hmm. And she and I were talking one day, and I was like, Casey, when you get some money, like a lot of money, we really need these at the library. Not very long later, she called me up and said, so there's this grant that I think is a really good match for your Tower Garden idea. How big a scale do you think we could do this on? And we just went from there, and Casey and I worked on the grant, and it was a fairly involved application process, and we have a lot of follow-up to do to make sure we're in compliance with all of the requirements of the grant, but it's all going along beautifully. I keep saying, you know how when a plan just really comes together and works out exactly like it's supposed to, and people say, no, what's that like? Well, this is what that's like.
Yeah.
This is how that is really working, and it's kind of awesome. So we're having a lot of good success with it, and really have not had any trouble doing everything we claimed we were going to do with the grant.
And at our last staff day, we had a presentation about that. Was that your friend that came and did that presentation, or who was that?
Yes. Maury, the lady who did the presentation with me, was the first friend who said, now, have you heard about these things? And the reason she asked that is she's a rep for the company. And she was our rep for, the purchase of the 15 gardens for the branches. And she has been, really hands-on in helping us with troubleshooting any problems we've had with the gardens and going from branch to branch. I think she's even, beginning to do some programming with us. So she's been fantastic. And the other lady, one of the goals of this grant was to establish new community partnerships, to think in new ways. We have great relationships a lot of the times with the schools. Maybe we know a church or two or a Boys and Girls Club here or there. Where else can we you know, reach our tendrils and get it. That was a plant joke.
Right.
Yeah. So that was one of the assignments of the thing is you got to go out into the community and find somebody to take your produce because you're going to be growing a lot of lettuce and we need somebody to give it to. And the idea was for each branch to tap into that in their own community. And it, like I said, it's worked really, really well.
So speaking of that and programming and outreach, maybe talk about some of the Tower Garden programming you're familiar with. I know every branch that's doing... Does every branch have a Tower Garden, first of all?
They do. We have 15 gardens in 15 branches. So for the period of the grant, each branch has one, and that's for a whole year. And we also have all the supplies we need to, you know, keep it watered and fed and new seeds growing. The programming has just knocked my socks off.
Yeah.
When you look at the garden and you start thinking about all the different applications you could use it for, you know, I can have little kids planting seeds and I can read books about seeds and plants and gardens. I can do programs about community food programs. I can have art programs. It's very STEM compatible. I can have a drawing class come and draw a Fibonacci sequence on my that matches my cabbages or whatever, or a watercolor class to paint because they are very aesthetically pleasing, our tower gardens, and photogenic too. Mm-hmm. I could do a photography class.
They're very flexible.
They really are, and for all ages. And that's worked out to be true from every branch. We have everything from preschoolers planting seeds to seniors planting seeds to everything in between. We've had special needs classes who help out. Lots and lots of different kinds of things. But lots of intergenerational, all ages kinds of programs when we had a chef come here. I had, 25 to 30 people for that program on a Saturday afternoon, and kids and adults just completely fascinated by what the lady was saying and what she was making using some of the ingredients from the garden. And then, you know, we talked about books and all the other kinds of things with it, library services, and while we had them captive.
Yeah, it seems like when people come into Duluth, the first thing, especially new people, the first thing they lay eyes on is the Tower Garden. They just see it from across the room, and it's just very interesting or exciting or some combination of that. So it's definitely a draw.
I like to do my maintenance when there's a lot of people in the library. I like, I carry pitchers of water back and forth to fill it up and add the chemicals. And if people come up and talk to me about it, pretty much every time I'm out there doing that. And, you know, I'd love to find some way to count that in our programming statistics. You know, I talked to 6 people while I was doing this, or, you know, I had some little kids want to come and help me, so I had them test the pH with the pH strips, or I have them add the chemicals for me.
It's almost like programming on the fly.
It's pop-up programming, totally.
Yeah.
And then I think it was at Decula one afternoon, Sarah was cleaning their garden, and she had kids coming up wanting to help and asking what she was doing. So she did a spontaneous, deconstructing the Tower Garden, and they all got to see the guts of the garden. And I liked that so much, I stole it and did it with my homeschool group the next week. So it's very versatile, and I think there's not really an end to the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a fairly decent job of sharing ideas. I think we could probably have done that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of clearinghouse for ideas for, what's been done and what's worked, and maybe sharing handouts so people don't have to reinvent those wheels. But
and when does the grant end?
I think it's December to December. I know that we planted our garden December 1st. It may be that technically it started in November at some point, but... Mm-hmm. Basically that.
And is there any chance that is going to continue on after December?
This was a finite grant, but the gardens belong to us.
Oh, they do.
So, yes. Yeah. So we now have a culinary literacy team.
Yes.
And that's going to be part of that team's role going forward, among other things, other culinary types of programming, is to figure out how best to use the gardens after the grant period's over with.
Nice.
So it may be that there, you know, some branches are ready to take a break from the gardens and other branches are clamoring to have more gardens. You know, we could theme the gardens. You could say you're going to grow as many Latino foods and herbs as you possibly can over here at this branch, and you're going to grow some West Africans and ones, and you're going to grow Asian things over here at this branch, and do it that way. And then try and have programming along those same lines. So we have lots of ideas about that. So we definitely won't stick them in a closet. I've already heard from branches who have said, please let me have extra gardens, or, you know, we'd really like to try one outdoors and still have one indoors. So, yeah.
I think one thing that's, like, really interesting, and then we were talking about before, is that we actually harvest the crops that we make from the Tower Gardens. Can you talk a little bit about what happens to the crops once we harvest sure. them and who we're partnering with in that?
Right. Well, each branch was tasked with finding recipients, local recipients, for their own produce. A lot of us use a good bit of the produce during programs. We can do tastings and share. We might make salads in a jar, so kids are taking home pretty much everything out of the garden. Or, you know, you might do a harvesting program where you get to keep what you pick, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So a lot of it gets used in programming. But then many of the branches have also partnered with different groups, like Snellville works with Southeast Gwinnett Co-op. Decula is working with Hebron Baptist Church. Let's see, Buford, you have the North Gwinnett Co-op.
Yeah.
And the Lilburn branch works with the Lilburn Co-op. We work with the Norcross Co-op some.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these are organizations that already had programs in place for giving food to people in need. A lot of them don't have refrigeration, so they can't necessarily store the produce. But if we deliver it to them on the day that they have the food pantries, they can distribute the food to their customers there.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And so that's worked out really well. We also do, we arranged for a monthly system-wide donation to Gwinnett Senior Services. And they use the produce for a variety of things. I think that they have been a little surprised by the amount of produce they're getting.
Right.
We collect, even though every branch might not be donating every month, we still collect two ginormous coolers full of vegetables, mostly leafy, lettucey things. For the senior services. Well, senior services has meals 5 days a week for ambulatory seniors at four different locations around the county. They also do meals on wheels for hundreds of recipients who get that food in their home. And that food is all canned and processed. They don't have any fresh stuff. So I think that they're using some of our salad to give those people fresh things, which you can imagine if you only get canned things, how nice it would be to have a fresh salad once in a while.
Absolutely.
Well, we even heard that from the Buford, the North Gwinnett Co-op, is that we brought it as at a time when lettuce is not necessarily in season. And so they were like, oh, well, the people who come here don't usually get that because they can't just go to the store and get it for cheap because they have to pay expensive imported prices or whatever, obviously. So it was really nice during those months that they could have a salad and get it from the co-op. So.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So it's lots of different kinds of partners of that. I think when I did our most recent harvest for senior services, I had had those plants in the garden about 6 weeks, and I would say there was 7 pounds of produce.
Wow.
And I didn't wipe out the garden entirely. There were still some plants that hadn't bolted yet and didn't need to be taken out, so I left them in it. So that wasn't even all 28 plants. That was probably 20
incredible.
Plants. And I just kept clipping and clipping and clipping and adding it to the bag, and when I went to pick up the bag, it was way heavier than I expected it to be. So it's a lot of food.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a really nice thing to be given back to the community. And, you know, whether the people who receive it know that it comes from the library or not, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But like I said, when you talk to people in the branches and they ask, well, what do you do with all this stuff? You get to tell them, and they are generally pretty pleased and impressed that we're doing these kinds of things.
Yes.
I did want to take one step back, and I don't think we covered that each branch has a rep at the branch, and they're sort of the ones that's in charge of that. that's how we kind of do a lot of programs. If we put kind of one person in charge of it, have those reps been the ones that have been coming up with a lot of those programming ideas?
I think so, and coordinating it and sharing ideas as well. And it's, I think it's often a team effort. It may be one rep make sure stuff is happening, but then, you know, maybe you have your ELA doing young kids programming, your teen rep doing teens programming, your adult person doing program for the grown-ups. So it's not necessarily that one Tower Garden rep who's responsible for it all.
And I know at Duluth we have a team, and that I'm sure other branches do as well, and our team is always impressing us with the kinds of ideas they have. It's very... they're just so creative.
Yeah. When I stopped by Duluth a couple of weeks ago, I picked up all of the handouts for the all the various programs that your team is working on, and they're amazing. Just the diversity of ideas. Mm-hmm. And like I said, from the minute people hear about this program, their heads are bursting with ideas about the programs, and then you find out other people had even different ideas. So right. It's just been really exciting, and I think it's given staff the opportunity to do whatever programming they're most passionate about. You know, maybe I'm not the world's greatest gardener, but I'm a really good cook. Well, okay, so this is good for this. Or maybe I'm a fantastic gardener, but I'm a lousy cook. Well, you know, there's somebody on the staff you can partner with. Or like even as we've increased our STEM programming, I think a lot of our people who are more arts inclined have been sad about the lack of focus on art, and so this has given them an opportunity to do art things that are also STEM. It really puts the A in STEAM, or at least gives you the chance to if you choose to do that.
And a lot of the schools have Tower Gardens too, mm-hmm. so I know that that's a chance for partnerships with the schools as well. We could learn what they're doing with them as well. And mm-hmm. I know some of them are doing the outside stuff, so they're like, well, we're growing watermelon and strawberries and mm-hmm. all that kind of pollinated stuff that's harder to do when we're keeping it all inside, but
right. What Steve's talking about right now is important, and I think we forgot to talk about it, is that when you're growing indoors, you're limited to what you can grow, to things that don't flower. Because if you have flowers, you need pollinators. And so unless you want to hand pollinate, which some branches are trying, you've got that going on at Duluth,
yes,
right?
Yes, we definitely have.
And
that
I think others do too. I have some flowering plants, tomatoes and peppers in the garden out there, and I haven't got flowers yet, but when we do, we're going to have a pollinating program and get our paintbrushes out and pollinate plants and see if we can get it to work. Because
we could also release bees into the branch.
That would be one other way of doing
it. As long as I get to say, release the bees. Don't edit that out.
And then if you could use it outdoors, like I know there's some branches that have some enclosed outdoor space where it would be really good to use the garden out there, then they have the option of doing that outdoors as well in the summer. And talking about Decula again, that's one of those branches where they have a fenced-in garden space. I talked with them about it this summer, and they decided against it. And the reason was they have so much interest in their garden. It's front and center in the branch. It gets a lot of attention. You know, it's lit up. It's burbling water noises. You know, sometimes it's big and bushy with green plants that are beautiful. So people ask about it, and it generates a lot of conversation. And they didn't want to risk losing that by stashing it out in the garden where mostly only families with small kids would see it.
Right.
So, you know, maybe next summer, like we talked about, if we have two gardens at one branch, they could have one indoors and one outdoors. And then your opportunities for programming expands even further. Well, why can we grow watermelons out here and only spinach and stuff in here? So then you have the chance to talk about those kinds of things. So really it's pretty cool.
So we talked a bit about where things are headed with the Tower Gardens once the grant ends. But if you could maybe talk a little bit about a little more about future outreach ideas or where you think the programming is heading. I know we just kind of also hit on that a bit, but if you have any more on that.
Or how it can tie into the culinary team.
That's
early stages.
Yeah, a bit more about the culinary.
Right. I just think that it has lots of room to expand. Yeah. I would love to see us continue supplying produce to the recipients now that we know there's a need for it and hopefully created the expectation that they might occasionally get a nice fresh lettuce leaf in the middle of January.
Right.
I would hate to see that end. So hopefully we'll be able to continue that. Who knows whether we might be able to expand. Maybe there'll be, you know, as new branches open, other opportunities to even have other types of gardens. What if you had a community garden that was, you know, a dirt garden out in the ground?
Right.
That's not my preferred method of gardening. I like the dirtless indoor air-conditioned gardening personally. others don't mind the dirt and the sun. So who knows whether that could lead in that direction as well. So I think that would be really cool.
And the tower garden units themselves were the huge expense up front. So, I mean, as we can keep going forward, I mean, seeds obviously are not that expensive. And
exactly.
So it's kind of easy to fold into your regular budget.
Right.
And stuff.
Ongoing, you would need to, you know, provide for the minerals and the supplies to keep the water's pH balanced and seeds or seedlings and like that. And then whatever programming supplies you incur, because when we do a salad in a jar program, we do buy additional ingredients. You would purchase some of the things you can't grow in the garden, like tomatoes and peppers and sunflower seeds and things like that. But I really like the ideas for the themed programming.
Yeah.
I think that gives another chance for, you know, if you've got staff from those backgrounds and they can bring in, you could bring in restaurants, local, you know, I have the luxury of being right here on Buford Drive, the best restaurant row in the world.
Yeah.
So what if you got to know some of your nearby restaurants and invited them in for some very locally grown produce right here?
Right.
And, snack on some new recipes.
It does seem amazing to me how, and I don't think people would think this at first glance, how many different programming opportunities and outreach and partnership opportunities this one thing, which is just basically lettuce growing indoors, creates.
Right.
And then the added complexity or benefit of, or surprise of it being in a library, which so fits in with GCPL's mission of, you know, cutting edge technology and pushing libraries into new spaces. It's really quite a treat.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
It's great hearing, man, you guys are everywhere.
Right.
From our customers. That's good. It feels like I'm everywhere. So I'm glad somebody's noticing.
Yeah. It's on brand.
Yeah.
Well, let us continue to do great.
There's so many puns.
Yeah.
We love them.
That's the other secret benefit
yes.
of growing things. It's the plant puns.
Mm-hmm. Librarians and cats, librarians and puns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know when the catnip's ready because I want to see what happens.
We're going to have some kind of program. I don't know what. Maybe we'll make, what I really imagine doing with it, I'm hoping it'll take off. You know, if you've ever grown catnip in your yard, it's related to mint. It goes crazy.
We've grown cat mint, which is related to catnip, and cats go nuts for it.
Right. You end up with a cat party in your backyard.
It tastes a bit like a light mint.
Mm-hmm.
It's very refreshing.
Well, if this takes off like that, I can see doing a similar program to what you all have done, an herb drying. So dry some of the catnip and then make little potpourri cat toys.
Mm-hmm.
So I could add in sewing or, you know, all kinds of other skills into that to make catnip and catnip.
Well, in my branch and a couple other
kitties.
Branches, I think Peach Tree Corners, a couple other ones have knitting groups that meet at the library. So
oh
you
my
can
gosh,
have them make
that be
little
cool?
Cat toys.
You can make catnip snoods for your...
Right.
Put some wiggle eyes on there. Done.
Well, I think that's a great way to end this one.
I was going to say something about check me out, but I feel like
you just brought the whole conversation back around the cat.
Stopped. You've got to be stopped.
I do.
Well, thanks for meeting with us and talking Tower Gardens with us today.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Flip the Library podcast.